number 13, landowner hunting permits and small game and other wildlife seasons and regulations. This is also a briefing and a public hearing. And Angelique, I will turn it over to you. And thank you all for your input on the goose stuff. That was good.
Well, good afternoon, Chair and Commissioners. My name is Angelique Curtis, and I'm the Small Game / Private Lands Section Manager. And I have two different items I'll be speaking on today. The first one is the landowner hunting permits, which is WAC 232-28-96. So this, a little bit of the background about the landowner hunting permits. It's a commission policy, C6002, which was passed in 2006. And it basically is only authorized by the commission. And within this, we can have customized seasons for landowners who are participating in the program. And it was designed, the program was designed to allow for public hunting opportunity on private land that would otherwise not be available. And so what we do is we come up with a scheme to allow permit allocations to landowners. And with this permit allocation, 50% of the antlerless, so the doe or the cow permits, will go into a special permit drawing. And then 25% of the bull or buck allocations will go into a special permit drawing for the public. And these exceptions are only by the commission. And this needs to be equal opportunity for all hunters with permits. And landowners may charge access fees for their landowner hunting permits, but not on the special permits. When they do charge these access fees, they waive any damage claims. So within the policy, it states landowners shall make provisions for significant public benefit. And we do encourage a general hunting opportunity, so with general season tags. And the landowner incentives that we may offer them include customized seasons within a structured season, second tag opportunities, and technical services to the landowner, which can include like farm bill assistance for CRP or safe acres. So currently we have 7 LHP participants. Our newest one is the Bennett Lumber. For our public comment, there was 42 comments received from the public. 60% supported the proposed changes, and they didn't have any identified comments. 40% have concerns about the program, but not necessarily to the date changes that we're proposing. They are concerned about benefiting only a select group of hunters and that landowners are selling the permits. So our proposed changes are just minor date and a hunt name adjustment, and those are proposed for Pine Mountain Ranch and for the ZMI. And so for Pine Mountain Ranch, the LHP permits that they receive, we're just changing it from changing to November 6th through December 31st, and then August 1st through November 5th. And then for the special permits, which are the public hunting permits, it's the same date changes. ZMI Ranch is the same thing. We're just changing the dates to accommodate the change in the calendar schedule. And the other change that they're doing is changing the hunt name from ZMI A to ZMI C and ZMI B to ZMI D for their special permits. And our direction and rationale is to implement the Fish and Wildlife Commission policy, continue to work with the landowners to gain access on private lands, which we otherwise do not have, and continue to provide private land access to hunters in some of these really beautiful landscapes. So any questions on that one? Yes.
Was that, yeah.
So far, they're all on the east side. We're just getting resistance on the west side from the landowners, or that's that's right. Where we need the axe.
Right. So previous to when I came on, I've been here for just a year, there was a access program on the west side. That kind of went away, and it was called something different. And from that time, we haven't I guess, engage the landowners in it. It is something I've looked into, the possibilities. I need to work with Jerry, just because it is the permits. Mm-hmm. But historically we have, and I don't have the reason why we don't right now.
Thanks. So. Yeah, I was just curious if this number of access points or participation up or down from, well, you say you have these 3 points that are new this year.
Right.
But it just seems, looking at a statewide map, that we don't have a lot of participation.
Right. So so the Bennett Lumber was the one that we've had for a couple years now. And that one, I can actually gauge participation in that one because it is involved in our Hunt by Reservation program. And so I am starting to get numbers right now of how many reservations were actually taken during the time period. So I'm working on that currently with a small committee, trying to figure out how much opportunity is there to the hunting public versus how much opportunity does the landowners have. So currently right now, I do know for the 6 of the LHP programs that their special hunting permits, those are the actual public opportunities. So when we say there's going to be 5 antlerless tags for, say, ZMI, that will be 5 people from the public who have the opportunity to hunt.
Right.
But that doesn't guarantee any other people from the public to hunt. So.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the Bennett Lumber one, you don't have the numbers figured up yet?
I don't, no. So I am getting them right now. It's taking me a little bit longer just because some people who used to know the system are no longer around. So I am getting those, and I can have them available to you as soon as I get it.
There again, I heard some numbers thrown around that it was a really tough one to get on the reservations.
So, yeah, I've had some calls about that. The reservation system itself, with some of these higher quality hunt sites, because we don't, it's first come, first serve. Some people don't have fast computers, or their computers lock up on them, so then their opportunity to get a reservation.
Well, I meant that in a positive, though, that it filled up in really short order.
Yeah.
Any opportunity there was to hunt on, and it was gone, nothing flat.
Oh, really?
So the... You know, the trade-off, and I still look at it and say there was no dollars going out, and there was quite a bit of access gained. And, no, everybody's told me that if you want on that, you better get Johnny on the spot on the day because it fills up just immediately.
Yeah, I think so we usually, for reservations, it's 2 weeks out. You can apply to be on a reservation. And I know within 5 minutes a lot of reservations are already taken for 2 weeks, so... Okay. All right, and then the second topic I will talk about is a very short one. It's WAC 232-28342, so small game and other wildlife seasons and regulations. And this one is just changing a name that's in the WAC. So in 1997, the South L.T. Murray Wildlife Area name was changed to the Weenus Wildlife Area. Well, the name was changed due to different funding sources. So L.T. Murray Wildlife Area proper is funded by wildlife state money, while the south is funded by BPA money. So we had to distinguish the two areas. So while it changed everywhere else in publications back in 1997, it has not changed in our WAC. So we put this out for public comment, received 14 public comments, 86 supported the proposed changes, none opposed them, and 14 were neutral. So the proposed change is to change the wildlife area name, South L.T. Murray, to Weenus. And it's the direction rationale is to be consistent with our publications, including signs, websites, pamphlets, and brochures. So.
And I hope the family of the former aren't too upset.
Right.
No, he does. It's like 1984. He doesn't exist anymore. Thank you. Any other questions? This is a public hearing as well, and we do have one individual. So, Dr. Thorpe. Always a pleasure to see you.
Hi,
Oh, my name's Dr. Sylvia Thorpe, and I'm a tree farmer in Deming, and I'm a shrink in Bellingham. And sort of an odd identity, I guess.
Both are growing fields.
I put together a thing on a bobcat for y'all. This one's a lot skinnier than the lynx one, but I have just a couple of points. Look in the middle of this thing. I forgot to put the tags on it. And you won't see harvest figures. This is hunting and trapping. Harvest figures. It's on a slant, so, and you saw it last year. But anyway, what you'll see here is from 1935 to 2015, harvest figures for bobcat. I apologize, and Angelique and I are still trying to find the missing mystery figures from 1994 to 1999. There's sites tagging reports, so they're legally required and should be somewhere, but I don't know where. Anyway, you can see a general trend here, down. On the next page, and I'm not here to jump up and down and say you should this or that or the other. I'm just saying y'all look at the data and you make your own conclusion. On this next page, we got the east side and the west side for regions 1, 2, and 3 and regions 4, 5, and 6 plotted. And they go from 1997 to 2015. What you will notice, and I'll make a statement about this in a second, there's more harvested on the east side than there are on the west side, which is, you know, kind of common. But there are, let's see, before I do that, look at the next graph, as long as we're on graphs. This graph is worldwide harvest of bobcat versus the fur price for bobcat. From 1997 to 2015, the fur price is taken from the Fur Auction Incorporated, and also from Saskatchewan Department of Fish and Wildlife. What you will notice, again, is trends, just like the stock market. You know, if you invested, you know, you want to watch the trends because it tells you something. The little yellow line is the price of the pelt. The orange line is a number of bobcats taken. So there's an inverse relationship, okay? You know, you don't have to be real smart to figure that out. You might figure that out. But here's what I want to tell you about. Look, here's some general biological data for y'all. There's some more graphs here toward the back. See, these are about lynx. This is another cat. But my reason for bringing this up is not to dredge up all that stuff about the lynx again, but to say, you know what? We saw this stuff happen before, and it was for the lynx, and with the same trends over the same period of time. And you'll see this is Washington's graph, and then if you turn a page, y'all with me, you get lost. There's British Columbia's harvest going back to 1920. It's the same idea. Let's not see the same thing happen because you wind up having to close the harvest, list them as threatened, list them as endangered. So all I'm saying is take a look at the graphs, and it's motivated by you make more money if you take more cats. There's lots of other stuff in here. Please take the time to read it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your dedication and for your preparation of this. That brings us to a conclusion of item number